Thanks for tuning in to the Direct Access to Oxford Physical Therapy podcast, where we talk about your body, how it moves, and empowering you with the knowledge to manage and treat your pain or discomfort. You will also get an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at a successful private practice. You have the questions, and we have the answers. Now let's get moving.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Direct Access to Oxford Physical Therapy podcast. I'm your host, Matt.
And your co-host, Allie.
And we have a special guest with us today, partner with Oxford Physical Therapy, yes. Rob Schwab.
Hey, Rob.
How's everybody doing?
He's only been begging to be on this podcast since we started.
Absolutely. I've only been on here like once, maybe twice.
I think
that's
twice.
About to change. Rob will be our most featured guest in the second half.
We'll just be bugging you for all of it.
Pulled that card.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us today, Rob. Rob and I were talking, you know, a little bit about our favorite topic, direct access.
Oh,
and patient choice. And it's interesting. We've done a lot of episodes and focused on surgical techniques with joint replacement. And joint replacement techniques have gotten so good, especially in the hip and with new approaches. We've talked about prehab and rehabbing before surgery. But it's becoming a little bit of a common theme where some patients are being told, you know what? You're doing so good, you don't need therapy.
Yeah, after. Or maybe they're like super athletic. They'll be like, you'll be fine.
Right. So Rob has some kind of clinical examples to share. And is that kind of accurate? Is that what you're seeing, Rob? Is that what people are being told?
Yeah, absolutely. And for the most part, if you think of like total joints, the knee compared to the hip is a much more difficult rehab.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's specific range of motions we have to get to in order for people to be functional again.
Right.
So there is some point of the line where I kind of agree and understand with what the doctors are telling patients where, you know what, you're fine. Just go out and move.
Sure.
But just recently, I would say over the past year, we've had a handful of patients that come in with some slight hip issues. But on top of that, they've had other issues that have appeared because, you know, their gait patterns have been changed due to the surgery or, you know, X, Y, and Z activity change, whatever it is. And so we're trying to get the word out to educate patients that, you know, you can choose to come to PT if the doctor says, oh, you don't need it.
Right. Well, I think that's important. I'm glad you brought it up because we've talked a lot about issues in the chain, like issues in the lower quarter, like issues in your right hip could affect your left knee, you know, or your lower back or things like that. So I think it might be eye-opening for patients out there who maybe had a recent total hip, say 2-3 months recently, and they're like, you know what? Now when I walk, my back hurts or my knee hurts or my ankle hurts. Are those the sort of things you're seeing?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've had one patient this past year who she had a anterior approach to her hip, and unfortunately she had two dislocations, which is very, very rare.
Yeah.
But it can still happen.
Yeah.
And she was along those lines. She was never told to come to PT.
Yeah.
We have another patient who she has more of kind of the low back, the knee pain, the hip tight, just a lot of different things that are impacting it. And I think it's frustrating when patients are told that, hey, if you go out and walk, that's the same thing as going to physical therapy. Oh.
Sure.
And yeah. I had a conversation with that patient who had dislocation. I said, walking is good, but that's a north and south movement.
Right.
There's no lateral movement there. You're not strengthening the muscles on the outside.
Yeah.
And that can impact the hip, and that's definitely going to impact the lower back.
Well, and I think from a pattern standpoint, you know, most people don't develop an issue today and get a joint replacement tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
This is a cumulative degenerative process,
absolutely.
You know, where they've probably had this going on for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Absolutely.
And think about the patterns they develop, and then literally in 45 minutes, that joint's replaced, and they wake up and they're moving totally different.
Yep.
You know, the other joints have to adjust to that.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I think that's what we can offer is the ability to look at, okay, now you do have 30 degrees more hip extension.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean for your lumbar spine? What does that mean for your other knee? What does that mean for your other hip?
Absolutely.
And I don't think people are going to automatically figure that out on their own and be able to make accommodations or adjustments to that.
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, joints around that, but if you just think about the hip joint in general, what does that do to the soft tissue around the joint?
Yeah, exactly.
You have a hip that wasn't moving.
Sure.
So those muscles are shortened to a specific position.
Yeah.
Now that joint can move, but it takes some time to get those things to move in the right direction. And I think that is where we kind of miss kind of the boat on that, because if they're in this movement pattern for 15, 20 years, and now we don't address that movement pattern, that beautiful new hip is going to can fall back into that movement pattern that was there.
Yeah.
So the range of motion that we're trying to gain never really comes back.
Right.
It should come back.
Right.
But it never comes back because of the early intervention. We can't get in there and do what we need to do.
Right.
And that's a little, it's frustrating. It's just like with any injury.
Sure.
We talk about direct access. We want people to come to us as soon as possible. The earlier that we can get to them, the better.
Sure.
But now we're seeing a patient a year and a half after surgery, and now we're playing catch up.
Yeah. So many times if a patient had a hip replacement, if they did a visit, you know, postoperatively, you know, when they get home from the hospital within that week or shortly thereafter, it might be simple, like a couple visits or a visit or an evaluation. Sometimes we might say, hey, you're doing really good. Sometimes we might give them some things to work on or do some early care. But what's that going to mean for them 12 months postoperatively?
Well, I think the early intervention, some of the light stuff, those are the easy things that they should be able to work on their own.
Yeah.
But when you start looking long term, that's the real impact that we can have on trying to work on just mobilization of the hip, working on the proper gait pattern, everything that we do in the clinic.
Yeah. So is it ever too late? Let's say somebody had a hip replacement 3 years ago and they're like, this thing has never been right.
No, it's never too late. Okay. We can make changes.
Yeah.
Now, are they going to be perfect? Now, there's a lot of things that can influence that overall health, lifestyle, whatever it is.
Sure.
There may still be some limitations there, but we can make them feel better.
Yeah. And is there, you know, we mentioned the hip affecting the low back and other joints, but is there a particular pattern that you're seeing more than others?
Just in the overall range of motion or just kind of the symptoms?
Yeah, I'd say symptoms or other areas affected, or like what kind of things are people coming in reporting like, hey, I'm having difficulty with this? Or
yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the overall rotation of the hip and the influence that has on the lower back.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a couple of people that want to get back to playing golf.
Okay.
Which can put a lot of strain on the lower back.
Yeah.
But if the hip is moving properly, there's less strain through the lower back.
Yeah.
So I would say the rotational component is big. Mm-hmm. And obviously just a generalized weakness.
Yeah.
People kind of fall back into their old habits of thinking, well, I'm walking, I'm moving.
Yeah.
I can go up and down the steps.
Right.
I'm strong, but there's still a lot of weakness that we'll see.
Sure. Sure. And last month touched a little bit on one of our Clinical Corner articles, and we talked about dry needling with knee replacement if people weren't having a successful result. I'm just curious, are you using that treatment much with people after hip replacement?
We are, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because the most common approach now is the anterior approach.
Mm-hmm.
There's a nerve up around where the incision is that can cause patients to have outside thigh kind of numbness, tingling, achy, pain, burning.
Okay.
So I've used a lot of techniques with the needling around where that nerve is around the incision, try to loosen that tissue up, try to help things downstream.
Okay.
Yeah.
So even patients maybe that are like, hey, I can walk fine, I can go up steps fine, but I got this weird tingly sensation or
Absolutely.
Pain like around my pocket, you know, that could be a treatment that could
Absolutely.
Help them with
yeah.
that issue.
Yeah. We've had some good success with that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So in terms of, you know, again, back to talking about prehab, you know, we talk about patients planning this out. When you see someone maybe before a total hip, what's your advice to them afterwards? Like, you know, take us through what you would tell them to do in terms of follow-up.
I just had this happen. A patient of mine who I treated for a total shoulder last year sent me an email and said, hey, I'm getting a total hip. Just letting you know, the doctor doesn't think to seem I'm going to need therapy afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sent him an email back and just educated him on the fact that, you know, I think he's in decent shape for his age. And but I said, I think PT is going to be beneficial for you because he's one of those guys that wants to get back to golf.
Sure.
He's got to have that range of motion and the mobility. And I said, I can't tell you what to do, but if you just talk to your doctor and just let him know that you want some therapy, he should be agreeing to that and send you here.
Sure.
His insurance requires that script that we have to have, that paperwork from the doctor. And luckily his doctor said, that's fine, gave him a script, and we just I just evaluated him yesterday. We'll post op 1 week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that patients advocate for themselves.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, and we want to give them that information and that education. So one of the things that we offer, we talk a lot about direct access, but we do offer B visits or bio exams. Those are free 5-10 minute check-ins that people can come into any office while we're open. And if you're getting ready to have a joint replacement, be it a total hip or a total shoulder, or total knee, and you want to talk through that process or have questions, that's a free service that we give to the community. So I would encourage anyone listening out there, if you have a loved one, you know, or you yourself are getting ready to undergo that, come in and get our perspective, you know, because I think what we're hearing and what we're seeing is that a little bit of therapy in the beginning, or even at least an evaluation, could save you a lot of discomfort and time and energy and get you back to your activities so much quicker.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's a little frustrating right now because I do believe that we are the experts in the musculoskeletal system and how it moves.
Sure.
And certainly I don't go into anybody else's office and tell them how to do certain
sure
job outside of my aspect.
Yeah.
So I think that's where, as a profession, I don't think we push enough and educate patients enough that I know there are certain things that the MDs do and they do great. They do the surgery, but
mm-hmm.
we know how the body's supposed to move and what we're supposed to do.
Sure.
And I think that's the biggest thing. And like you said, I think patients can be advocates for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just
tell the doctor what you want. If doctors don't agree with that, I would tell you to go find a different doctor, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Well, it puts a lot of trust on the patient for a doctor to be like, hey, you're going to get surgery. You might be uncomfortable, like lay low, and then like just try to keep walking and keep mm-hmm. moving. It's going to do the same thing as therapy. When down the line, they're going to come to therapy
mm-hmm.
when it's, you know, not feeling right yeah. down the line. So yeah. why not get it therapy in a little bit before, a little bit after, and then you're done.
Yeah.
So yeah. I just don't see the thought process of these guys.
Well, and
I think
some of the orthos out there, they're just trying to get their pain away.
Yeah.
And trying to get their patients moving.
Well, getting moving when they trust them to.
The walking and those types.
Yeah.
That's
sure.
obviously going to get them moving.
But
there's
if it were
so
me,
much more.
And I get to lay down and heal the way I want to.
True. But you also have to think it's a different... You're in a different generation than a lot of people that are
getting
surgeries nowadays.
That's
so
why
they
I said
trust
it was me.
The word of their doctor.
Exactly.
And
well, I think it's a perfect opportunity to remind our listeners, as always, that they have direct access. And, you know, you can come in, and as Rob said, there may be instances where different insurances require communication with physicians. One of the advantages that we have at Oxford is that we're private and independent, so we work with a lot of different physicians out there, and we're perfectly comfortable to have conversations with physicians on patients' behalf or send information that we need to help facilitate a process. So we can help escort you through the navigating the system to get what you need. So I would just encourage folks, if you are having a hip replacement or have had a hip replacement and things don't just seem right,
yeah,
doesn't mean you have to live with it the way it is.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, we just want to really do this episode so that folks know, you know, there is an avenue out there beyond just living with it or just walking it out, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so.
It could be something just as simple as an email or a phone call.
Right.
Yeah,
and we
exactly.
can answer questions very easily.
For sure.
Yeah.
And every one of you has that right.
That's right.
I think this might be the record amount of times that we said direct access in one episode.
That means Rob gets us.
You should bring
back.
Me on more often.
You know what I love most about, you know, Rob begged to be on this podcast, but we have a lot of therapists that are very amped up or very passionate about their job, and yeah. they want to get the word out there. And I think, you know, this podcast is one way to go.
Maybe we'll see if Rob can speak to his patient that he just emailed with, who's under, he evaled yesterday. Had the hip replacement, maybe he'd want to be a special guest
yeah.
and give patient perspective.
He would.
Cool.
Yeah, I think
so,
he would.
So absolutely. Sounds like we just booked
Stay
our follow-up episode yeah. with Rob. So
you'll hear from that patient on what he did and how he didn't listen to his doctor and came to physical therapy and got better, right?
Mm-hmm.
There,
yeah,
like that.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, you. Bye.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Thanks for listening. You can find us online at oxfordphysicaltherapy.com, and you can also find us on our social media pages like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok. Remember, you do not need a doctor's referral to receive physical therapy in the state of Ohio and Kentucky, where we offer double the care for less than half the cost. You can schedule appointments online or stop into any center for a free screen, what we like to call a bee visit. Please write a review, send us a comment or message on our social media platforms, and until next time, keep it movin'.